Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And before we go on, I just want to remind my listeners that I've got all kinds of free resources for people in leadership, people who just simply want to grow in their relationship, or Bible study leaders. So, and you can find all of it, again, free, downloadable at PastorVic.com. Again, PastorVic.com. Okay, let's continue. All right, some believers believe that because one belongs to a church or has a Bible or comes from a Christian family, that one is spiritual. That really isn't always the case. When the Bible speaks about spiritual things, it is to those who have a relationship with Jesus and have learned to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and of course, obey that voice. Knowing about the Holy Spirit is not the same as knowing the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He's not a thing. There's a big difference between head knowledge or intellectual understanding and personal heart knowledge, or what we call faith. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man in this verse refers to the person who is not born again. So what Paul is saying is that to understand the things of the Spirit of God, you must be born again. It's amazing to me that some miss the fact that we are instructed throughout the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, to trust and rely on the Spirit of God. For example, in the Old Testament, Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Zerubbabel led the first wave of Jews returning to Judah after the Babylonian exile. His task was to rebuild Jerusalem, a seemingly impossible task. However, God reminded Zerubbabel that it was not by natural strength or ability, but by the limitless power of the Spirit of God. Nothing is impossible with God. And then in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now, these two examples or these two verses speak to the Spirit of God living in the believer, not to the individual's natural abilities, talents, or strengths. Again, we see in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, that the Lord has given us everything we need to live life righteously and to fulfill his plans for our lives. Verse 3 begins with, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." That's a mouthful. But these great and precious promises are fulfilled as we learn to walk in the Spirit and not in the natural abilities of the flesh alone. You see, there's a twofold work of the Holy Spirit. When we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, we agreed to allow him to lead us in two areas of life. The first is to shape our character. The second is to fulfill his assignment in the body of Christ, or the church. When we decided to receive Jesus into our hearts and into our minds, we also received the gift of salvation. Now, what this means is that heaven is ours. Jesus promised that he would prepare a place for us and that he would return for us. In John 14, beginning in verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way you know." That's the wonderful news for the future. However, Jesus also promises us heaven now on earth. In Luke 17, beginning in verse 20, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you.'" As I said before, the kingdom of God on earth is available for us for two purposes. The first is to become more like Jesus in character and nature, and the second is to make Jesus known to those who are lost. And so we have the work of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives. Now, while we understand that we are forgiven and made clean before God, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." But we still must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The renewing of the mind is a process whereby we replace the old habits and ways of thinking and believing and replace them with the truths that we find in His Word, the new covenant of the Bible. Before Jesus ascended to the Father, He promised the Father would send us a helper. That's John 14, beginning in verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper." That other helper, it literally translated, means to one just like me. "That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Clearly, Jesus promised that he would not leave us alone. And therefore, we have to avail ourselves of the help that he gives us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and it's the character of the Spirit that we have to learn how to walk in. The character of the Holy Spirit is spelled out so well in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 22. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law." These traits or characteristics are how we demonstrate Christ in us. I'm sure you've heard the expression, "They shall know we are Christians by our love." This expression is based upon Jesus' word in John 13, beginning in verse 34. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." When we accepted Jesus as Lord, we agreed to become more like Jesus in character as well as in power and authority. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21, the Apostle Paul writes, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. And then we see also in Romans 8, beginning verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstfruit among many brethren. And so, as you can see, the work of the Holy Spirit is to produce in us the character and the nature of Jesus, that we would become more and more like him in the way we respond to life, in the ways that we treat others, and we demonstrate the love that he has for us to those that are around us. There's also a work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, or what I call the church. The Lord has provided gifts to expand the kingdom of God on earth. These gifts and abilities are available to empower the body of born-again believers, otherwise known as the church. And it's for a purpose. It's to do the work of the ministry, or to fulfill the assignment. When the Christian uses these gifts, it's often referred to as the anointing. And this anointing is truly the work of the Holy Spirit and should not be confused with natural talent or abilities, eloquence, or personality. I always like to remind myself of a definition of my friend, Dr. Frank Parrish of WorldMap. And he coined this expression. And he said that the anointing is none other than the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit, bringing with him the necessary power and authority and gifts to fulfill the Father's will in a given moment of ministry or assignment. We should not diminish the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. We often think that we need education, persuasiveness of words, charismatic personality to represent Jesus. While all these things can be helpful, all we really need is the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul mentions this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And then he goes on to say, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul understood how important the gifts of the Holy Spirit were. And these gifts of the Holy Spirit are unique skills and abilities given by the Holy Spirit to faithful followers of Christ to serve God for the common benefit of his people, the church. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to us because of the Helper that Jesus promised that the Father would send to us. Jesus knew that we would need help learning how to become more like him and also in fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission is that charge given to all believers to proclaim the good news, the gospel. These gifts and abilities are found in the following places in scriptures. And I'd encourage you to look at them, as we will talk more about them in the future. But one place to look is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, and also chapter 12, verses 27 through 31. And then we have Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Then Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. And all of these things speak of abilities and talents and gifts or charisma that the Holy Spirit provides to those who follow him. Now listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Take note of verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. Can you see that signs and wonders are not just for our benefit, but also for the benefit of the unbelievers? You see, some people come to Christ through the gospel message alone. And some are drawn to the gospel because of the signs of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Since nothing is impossible with God, he will use any means to draw people to Jesus. If you're born again, you must have the Holy Spirit living in you. You see, your salvation was a surrender to Jesus. You acknowledged that you were a sinner, that you were forgiven by faith in the grace provided by the blood of Jesus. In a similar way, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a surrender to the Spirit of God, acknowledging that the Holy Spirit lives in you and you have received the gifts of the Spirit. Just as salvation is a grace gift and must be received to be effective, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is also a grace gift that must be received to be effective. See, when you are born again, you know it because of the peace and assurance that the Lord gives to you that you are saved. And when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know it because you will speak in new tongues and you will move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. However, all of these things require learning how to be led or directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Learning to hear or discern the voice of the Spirit is the key to an overcoming life in the service of our King, King Jesus. And let me close with Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I just encourage you to press into your relationship with God. Realize that you are spiritual by nature of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And to really pursue your relationship with God and learning how to discern his voice. And the way we learn how to discern his voice is that we spend time in his word. And as we spend time in his word, he will bring those verses back to us in our everyday life and encounters in life. God has a perfect, beautiful plan for you. And I just encourage you to pursue him with everything that is in you. Heavenly Father, right now, I just pray a blessing to every listener, every person who is watching, Lord, that you would just release a fresh anointing upon them. Lord, that they would have a sense of destiny. They would have a sense of purpose. And Lord, that they would learn how to walk in trust in the Holy Spirit that dwells in them. And I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time where we'll continue this discussion. Unless otherwise noted, all scripture quotations are from the New King James Version of the Bible. Copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson. Used by permission, all rights reserved.